Bless you. Yeah, I picked up mic two instead of mic one. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your love. Thank you for your blessings. We pray you be with us this evening and speak to us out of your word by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. You can stand if you want. Okay. Verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them which believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And you may take your seats. We are going to continue our study of great women of the Bible, and we are going to look at Rahab this evening. And it's really interesting to me that here's God's great chapter of faith, and Rahab is mentioned in God's great chapter of faith. And so there's a lesson to be learned in particular from every single one of these, Noah and Abraham, everyone. Rahab's there. Mentioned just before Paul runs out of time. And he says, the next verse, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and so on. So just before he runs out of time and just lists off all the names, he says Rahab. And that's really important. And we're going to have a look at why that is. Because most of the time, well, in fact, this is the first time in the Bible, as far as I can tell, and if you find another place, let me know. But this is the first time in the Bible that we have the name of a woman in a story that's not associated with the name of a man. It's the very first time. Because if you think of Eve, there's Adam and Eve. If you think of Sarah, it's Abraham and Sarah. And, but this is the first time, and let's go there to Joshua chapter 2. Where this is a story about a woman, and everyone else is kind of in a supporting role. Okay? Because it says in verse 1, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came to a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. We don't know the names of the spies. We know Joshua sent them out. We don't know the name of the king of Jericho. We don't know, it was told the king of Jericho. We don't know anyone's name in this chapter except for Rahab and Joshua. Those are the only two people named. Which is quite something, isn't it? It makes it even more particular. And you can imagine God is kind of baking a big cake, all right? And he's got a recipe. And he starts off the cake, oh, I need a little bit of Abraham, and I need a little bit of Sarah. And he's mixing away, and he's like, what's the next ingredient that I have to put in order to bake this cake, in order to make this more perfect, in order for people to understand me? Because this is what the Bible is about, for people to understand God and how God interacts with us and how we interact with God and how we can live the life and produce what God wants. And he says, right now, I need a whole heaped tablespoonful of Rahab with no one else mentioned. That's interesting because, you know, the Lamb's Book of Life is full of names, and we believe our names are on the Lamb's Book of Life. And we believe that because we identify with something in the Scriptures, but there are certain people whose names we know are on the Lamb's Book of Life. And we can say we know Abraham's name is there and David's name is there, and we can say we know that Rahab's name is also there on the Lamb's Book of Life. And so that's really interesting. So let's have a study of this. Okay. So there are two definitions that I've found for the name Rahab. One means wide and the other means proud. And I don't know what to make of that, but that's what they say her name means. But I love this. Let's be very straightforward about the Word of God. Okay, they went and came to a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And there are some people who say, well, it was an innkeeper. She was an innkeeper. But the Bible says a harlot, a prostitute. And in the New Testament, and this is significant too, if you turn to Revelation chapter 17, the same word, by faith Rahab the harlot, is in Revelation chapter 17. Okay? All right, in verse 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Okay? And that's, so it's a name with a, well, it's the name of a woman who sells her body for money. And it's, you could think it's a good camouflage. Two men come to the city, and where do they go? To the prostitute's house, you know. But God said, and it's so interesting, okay? We've talked about this before. Don talked about this on Sunday. If eternity never began, and eternity never ends, I have a question for you. Where are you going to be when you end this life? Are you going to be in eternity? Do you believe that? Okay. You believe you're going to be in eternity when this life is over. That means you're already there. Because eternity never started and it never ended. It goes on the same. So you're already there. You're just waiting to step into it. So we start off in eternity and we kind of step down into time for this period that we're in now. And then we step back into eternity. But we don't remember so much the glory we came from. We just remember our starting point here. And God said, in this big cake, this recipe in expressing who I am, I'm going to need to start off with a prostitute. We don't know why she ended up on that path. We don't know what happened in her life. All we know is God's starting off with somebody who, according to the laws of the children of Israel, should be stoned to death, right? And he says, this is the identity I want to start with to show you something about me. And so it doesn't matter in your life where you come from, doesn't matter where you are now, and it doesn't matter where you're going to be in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, whatever. If God is working in your life, what he's doing is he's showing people something about himself by your journey, by your story. Okay? But he said, Rahab, particularly, I need to draw your attention to her and mention her by name on her own, not just in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. And so, verse 2 says, it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came in men hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, because they'd seen her go in their house, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thy house, for they be come to search out the country. And this is a wonderful thought, that there's a man with a big ministry in the room, Brother Jesse, and he preached on this and just opened my eyes to this, okay? That the verse 4, and the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. And this is so interesting to me again, that she's using deception. If she told the truth, the story might have ended there. But she used deception. Now, I'm not recommending you to use deception if your mum and dad come and tell you, you know, hey, where's this, where's that? Oh, you know, I went and I did this and I did that and I wist not, like Rahab, I wist not what happened, mum. Okay, don't be like that. But there's this interesting thing going through the scripture that the Spirit of God is expressed in this, in the defense of the plan of God. But she had taken them up to the roof of her house and hid them in the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued them were gone out, they shut the gates. And before they were laid down, she came up to them on the roof. And so you know what she's done. Now you know, we're going to understand why she's done it. And she said unto them, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites, which were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. And so you're talking about something, the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea. How long ago was that? At least 40 years. Because they'd wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, right? It's probably more like 41 because they wandered for a little time. But you're talking about something happened 40 years ago. And it was so incredible that the news of it filtered through the country. And she'd heard of this, maybe passed down from, maybe she was a young girl. Maybe she heard it from her mother. And she said, there's something true in that. Okay? There's something true in that. And not only is there something true, there's something a little bit exciting. There's something that I want to identify with. So she'd heard the word of God, not from a preacher, not from even a believer, but just from someone who'd shared the report of the word of God. And then the other miracles that were done. And she'd heard those reports. And she was like, you know what? There's something real in that. And everyone's terrified, but me, I wish I had a God like that. A God that was powerful. And it's worth it to me to say, if that God ever comes into my life, I want to be identified with the God of Israel, not the God of my people. Okay? The way the word of God spreads through the world, it's amazing. Brother Andrew, God smuggler. How many of you have heard of him? He smuggled Bibles into communist Russia, and he met a man one day who told him, I'm a Christian. He's like, how did you become a Christian? He said, I became a Christian because of one page in the Bible. How many of you have heard this story? Okay, yeah, Elisha has, because I like this story. And so he said, what would happen is the Russians, if the soldiers, if they could get hold of Bibles, they're valuable because the paper was so thin. You could tear it out. You could use it to roll up cigarettes. Okay? And he came across a page of the Bible. And because of that page of the Bible, he said, this is the God I want. And he said, can I see it? And he said, yeah, here it is. And what it was a list of David's mighty men. It was like one of the genealogies. It wasn't Jesus died on the cross or something wonderful like, you know, Romans 8, it was just a list of the genealogies of David, of David's mighty men. He said, how did that make you become a Christian? He said, well, I read it. He said, and in the Russian army, I'm just a number. But everyone in God's army had a name. And God knew their name. And he said, I want to be part of that army. And that's how he became a Christian. The wonders of how God will thread his word through the tiniest gaps. Someone sold a Bible, threw away a Bible. Thousands of, who knows, hundreds of thousands of Bibles were taken and torn up and smoked by Russian soldiers. And just one page happened to be lying around. And one guy just lifted it up and read it. And something of the word of God struck his heart through that channel. And he was like, I'm going to follow Jesus. It's like, yeah, you talk about the power of the word of God. That's the true power of the word of God. But, you know, Paul said, he said, I'm in prison. He says, and there are people preaching Jesus. And some of them, I will be honest with you, they're preaching Jesus, trying to add to my burdens. Yeah. And he said, but that's okay. He says, whatever way Jesus is preached, I rejoice. Why? Because if the name of Jesus comes out, then someone somewhere has the potential of hearing the true word of God through that, no matter how it comes out, and saying, ah, there's a hook there, there's a call there. I hear my name in that. Like Rahab, like we said, the name's in the book. And so if you've ever read the Bible, and I hope you have, you know, being here, I think you all have. But if you've ever read the Bible and a little bit of you gets a bit excited, it's like, oh, that's really good. I like that. I want to be identified with that. You know what that is? That's your name calling to you out of the book, saying, Peter, over here. Okay? Well, it won't be Peter. It'll be your new name, right? Your new name. Your name from eternity. But Rahab didn't have a page from the Bible. Rahab didn't have a visiting preacher. She didn't have contact with the prophet. She just heard the news through the rumors and the travelers, and everyone got scared. But she got a little bit excited because the word of God came to her. And so she said, I want to be identified with that. Now, it's interesting. She had faith in what she heard and chose to be identified with that rather than her traditional beliefs. But she had faith in what she heard. Okay? Let's turn to James, chapter 2. And let's look at faith. Because the faith of Rahab is made evident really clearly. It's a really good example is laid out in this. We'll start at verse 14. Okay. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So, your faith has to be with your works. All right? And he says, yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Okay? And it's like, and we'll get into this because he brings it in. But think about all the people in Jericho believed what was happening. Said, we all trembled. We're all afraid of you. The king is commanding to try and kill you. All right? But Rahab had true faith. Not faith that believed, but faith that produced the works. And in the story of Rahab, the works come before the words. She hid the spies, and then you find out why. Because she believed. All right? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how by works a man is justified, not by faith alone. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? You see? So there she is. Everyone believes, but there's only one true believer. How do we tell the true believer? By what she did, not what she said. Okay, all the others were gossiping and talking, oh, the children of Israel, maybe we'll be able to defeat them this way, but their God is mighty. And man, if their God can beat the Egyptians' gods, phew, what chance has our God's got against them? But she was the only one who produced works. Now, let's have a look. What are the works of Rahab? The works of Rahab are to take the faith that she had and to take her life in her hands for the cause of the faith. You understand that? Okay. Because here's the king of Jericho, and he says, Rahab, we saw the men go into your house. Where are they? And she stood up to him, and she wasn't afraid of him, and she said, well, they did came in. They stayed for a little while. Then they went out towards the mountains. Go quickly. You might be able to catch them. They were only on foot. Okay. So off they go, glomp, glomp, on their horses, chasing these men. Okay, what if someone has said, we don't believe you, Rahab. We're going to search your house and especially that bunch of flax you got drying on the roof. They find the men. What happens to her? Oh, we see what side you're on, Rahab. Off with their heads and off with her head as well. Okay, you see that? She took her life in her hands to express her faith, to show her faith was true, to show her faith was genuine. So I have a question. Do you believe? We're all going to say yes. And Lord willing, we would all say yes. Do you get excited by the Bible? By the news of the Word of God? And again, you believe? Okay, but is your faith powerful enough that you'll trust your life into it? There you'll say, I'm at a decision point, you know. Reality here, you know. I'm going to stand for Jesus if it loses me my job. Okay, in this modern environment, very real possibility, okay? Because we all live and work in Minnesota, which is among the wokest of the states in America, okay? And we're all living under that pressure that says, okay, should I say this? Should I not say this? Should I be wise? It's like, yeah, you should be wise. But when the time comes where you just have that urge, I need to say something, are you going to have the courage of your convictions? Because if you don't have the courage of your convictions, you don't have faith like Rahab did to take your life into your hands for something that you believe in. So, we have heard, and that's why I've done these things, is a sign of faith. And she only heard the faintest whispers. How much more should our faith be in action with the exposure that we have? Let's not be like the children of Israel, who are right up close to the Word of God and counted it as a small thing. Let's be like Rahab, who just heard the faintest of whispers and counted it as the greatest thing in her life. So we're going to carry on. So she knows God is God. Now, verse 12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, by your God, since I have showed you kindness, you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Okay, there's no record of Joshua giving them power and saying, hey, you know, you can negotiate whatever terms with whoever you want. All right? But they knew Joshua. They had faith that their word was good enough for Joshua to act on. It turns out that that was the case. But beyond that, we'll find that their word was good enough for God to act on. Because Joshua wasn't in charge of where the walls fell down. Okay? Joshua didn't know the plan was to knock all the walls down. And there's Rahab with a wall, a house as part of the wall. And here are the spies binding God to an agreement on behalf of Rahab. And God says, yep, I'll do that. That's worth it. That's a good deal. I will allow myself to be bound by the words of a man, by the request of Rahab. Why? To show people, hey, you might have more negotiating power on behalf of people in your life than you realize. That you too, acting in faith, yeah? Not in a, oh, there's no indication here that the spies spent 3 days fasting and praying to see if God would agree with them. Okay? There's no indication they had to do anything special. They just said, yes, our life for theirs. All right? Could it be that we're living below our potential because we're not just taking in simplicity? Oh, I can request something from God and he'll do it. Just in simple faith. All right. Our life for theirs, if you utter not this business, and it shall be when the Lord has given us this land, we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers go away, and afterwards ye may go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's house home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the door of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. We will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in any of the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand should be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. And God said, amen. Okay? So what do you need in your life? According to your words, so be it. Is God going to say amen? Okay? Now listen, if you've got obvious sin in your life, forget it. If you're living in a way that's separated from God, forget it. You don't have that. But if you're in the line of duty, on a mission sent by God, according to your word, so be it. And she sent them away. And her belief was powerful enough, not just for herself, but also for her family. Let's turn over to Joshua chapter 6. Okay? And as we saw, they didn't know that God's plan was to flatten the walls and that Rahab's house was on the walls. They bound God to that agreement. And God was content with that. And she let them down out of the wall with a scarlet rope. Because they said, the same rope that you let us down by, the same connection that you have with believers, and that scarlet thread that represents the blood of Jesus, that connects you to believers, that you will put your life's trust in. What if someone had seen her letting the men down? It might be in a bit of trouble. But again, she puts her life in her hands, and that blood, that scarlet thread, becomes the token that's powerful enough, okay? Because let's turn to verse 20. And so the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. It came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet that the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring hence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel, and they burnt the city with fire and all that there was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent out to spy out Jericho. Like you said, it doesn't tell you that God also honored the words, but they did, because her house was by the wall. But the point here is that blood, that scarlet rope, not just a symbol of the blood saving her, but the blood saving her family. And here's something Brother Branham says in the message of the token. She said, believe for safety, then apply. Here's what you want to believe. See, you want your own safety, you believe for your own safety, then apply the token for the whole family. You say, how can I do that? Claim it. If it worked on you, then the word, you and the word becomes one. Amen. See, it works for both of you. You and the word are one, then apply it to your children. Apply it to your loved ones. Like Rahab did, she applied the token to her father. She applied it to her mother. She applied it to her brothers and sisters and got them all in. You apply it, say, Lord, I'm going after my son. I'm going after my daughter. I claim her. Satan, you turn her loose. I'm coming after her. I apply my token, the Holy Spirit. O Holy Spirit that lives within me, catch my daughter there. I'm going to her now with your anointing on me. He'll do it. Okay? And so that's how you apply the token. It's like, father, yeah, mother, yeah, brothers, yeah, sisters. There's another word in there. It says, all her kindred. Like, did she bring cousins in? Did she bring second cousins in? It's like, how far do you want to apply the token? Well, as far as you've got faith for, apply the token. Okay? And God said, that's the example that I need to bring to people now, that just a faint whisper of my word is enough for anybody to receive the truth. And I love that woman so much that her past doesn't matter to me. What she was, a prostitute, not important. I need that faith. I need that kind of faith in the line of Jesus. So let's just turn to Matthew chapter 1. Okay. In verse 5, it says, Salmon begat Boaz of Rachab, which is the Greek transliteration for Rahab. It's the same person. Okay? So Rahab married into Israel and was part of the line of Jesus Christ. Okay? So God said, you know what? These children of Israel are pretty good. Pretty nice. But I'm going to bring out a king. And you know what? They don't have quite the right genetic structure to have a king come out just yet. I'm going to need some Gentile in. And Rahab came in. And Boaz was born to Rahab. And God looked at it, he's like, I'm going to need a David along the lines. But man, Boaz is only half Gentile. It's just not enough. Okay? And Obed was born to Ruth. So that meant Obed was like three quarters Gentile blood, if you like, genetic makeup. Does that make sense? His father was half Gentile, and his mother was a full Gentile. All right? And he was born, okay? And Obed was the one who redeemed Ruth. Was it because his mother was a Gentile? We don't know. So David, King David, was almost a quarter Gentile blood. 3/16 is what I calculated it as. But, you know, what's a 16th between friends? We'll just say he was about a quarter Gentile blood. Because that physical purity wasn't an issue to God. He said that spiritual purity overcomes everything. All right? And I need to show my people that there's a Gentile bride coming. And Rahab was a perfect type of this because of the ancestry. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3. Yeah, so I can find out why I put that in there. Yeah, it's the faith. It's not your sins. It's not the sins of your past. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. Being justified, verse 24, for all... Oh, it's verse 20. Well, I mean, we could start at Romans 1:1, but we're going to start Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare that his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. All right. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And Rahab believed in the coming Messiah, and she said, I want to be identified with the people of the coming Messiah. Her faith and the faith of all true believers in the time of Israel wasn't so much in the blood of the sacrifices. That was the path they had to tread, but in the sacrifice that was coming that would redeem them. All right? And our faith shouldn't be in coming to church. It shouldn't be in the things we do. It should be back on Jesus Christ. Not to say that just like the children of Israel, they had things that they had to do, following the commandments of God, sacrificing bulls and oxen. But the heart needed to be right, and then God would accept the sacrifice. It's the same for us today. Whatever you do, it's got to be based first on your heart having that foundation in Jesus Christ. So you, like Rahab, it doesn't matter what the sins of your past are if you have faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? I'm not saying, sisters, go out and try that lifestyle. But I am saying if you come from that background, it doesn't make a difference. God has put in his Bible that it's not important. Okay? Not important at all. Now, she bore the consequences of her lifestyle choice to a certain extent. Yeah, and the Bible says in this life we can do things that cause us trouble. All right? But, you know, and if you could have the choice. Here, we're doing a study in Pergamos, and there's just, let's just turn to Revelation chapter 2. Because I forgot the name. Yeah, verse 13. I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in the days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr. It's like, brothers and sisters, if God said to you, listen, got a deal for you, okay? I want to put your name in the Bible like Rahab's name was in the Bible. Okay, I want to put your name in there. Everyone's going to read that you were faithful. Would you like that? Your name written in clear in the Bible? Okay. No one? Okay. So a few people. I think I saw a few Minnesotan nods. Very shy. Said, okay, all you have to do, you have to go to Earth. It's going to be a pretty miserable life for you, and then you're going to die. But I'll put your name in the book. Okay? Would you take that deal? Okay? And you'd say, you know what? The weight of eternal glory far outweighs what I'm going to have to go through. And God's going to put my name in the book. It's like, wow, what an honor, what a privilege. Like, yes, Lord, I'll do that. Who knows but that you've already made that deal with God. You've forgotten about it. You're going to remember it on the other side. And God will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You went through a lot, okay? But your name is on the book. I was like, oh, well, I kind of forgot about it while I was going through it. It was kind of hard, but something kept on pulling me through. Thank you, Lord. All right? So what did Rahab have to go through in order to become part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ? We don't know, but we do know she didn't have an easy life. And we do know that her faith covered that multitude of sins to the point where someone said, you know what, I'm going to marry you. You're the one for me. And God said, that's the line I'm going to bring David through. That's the line I'm going to bring Jesus through. And interestingly as well, just running it back to one more thing is, remember how we read in Revelation 17, the great harlot? All right? Even if you have that denominational background, spiritually speaking, doesn't matter. Come out of her, my people. Don't be partakers of her sins. If you hear the word of God and you start following the word of God, God will lead you out and to a place where you can actually produce Jesus Christ. So don't worry about the past. Say that to Brother Gregor, who didn't know he was an ex-Catholic altar boy, you know. But he heard the voice of God, and that brought him out. Okay? So it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what your background is, what denomination, what lifestyle you've lived. If you hear the word of God, you too can be like Rahab the harlot. Okay? I trust that was a blessing. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you call all kinds of people, and may we be like Rahab. Whatever your voice is, however it comes, may we respond to the call and risk our lives and maybe even give our lives, Lord, for your name's sake, to follow your message, to follow your word. Father, we pray that we thank you for her, and we pray that we could take those lessons and be inspired in our own lives by Rahab, who you put in your word, who you named, that we too could be like her among those that are named when your great role is called up yonder. We thank you for your goodness. If I've said anything that's been amiss, I pray you bring it to your light. But Lord, the things that you've said, may they sink into our hearts and help us to walk closer to you, to give our lives to you, to bring about your kingdom on this earth. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I guess we're going to sing a song. Does someone have a song to sing? Okay. Bought with a price, that one.
Yep.
Okay. I am redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. And if anyone should ask you just who I am, you can tell. Number 140 goes like this. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. If you want to sing it with me. F as well. I thought about jumping into it, but I don't know if everyone would know the verses. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever. And so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Child and forever I am. While I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. The King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. Amen. May he give us songs in the night. Philip, do you want to commit to the Lord in a word of prayer for closing the meeting?
Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for these words that we have heard tonight, Lord.
pray that you would continue to reveal things to us as we think on these things. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to keep your hand on us as we go about our ways. Lord, this is a time of great tribulations and tryings, Lord. I pray that you would just continue to give us strength through each day, Lord. Give us wisdom. Help us to be a light to those around us. And Lord, may we also accept and to have faith in what you are doing in our lives. Lord, that we would also be our names written there for those to come, Lord, to see and to marvel at. The mighty men of valor, Lord. May we be put in remembrance that we would not be ashamed to the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus says, this weekend, ask for guidance and strength, Lord, to move, Lord. You know, thank you for all these things that you have given us, Lord, for this space. Lord, we also ask that you would bless the property managers, Lord, for working these things out, Lord. We thank you again, Lord, for orchestrating these things that just work out perfectly. And as we go home tonight, I ask for safe travels for each and every one. Lord, I ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, God bless you all, mighty men and mighty women of valor. Redeemed.